And we don't normally do our lesson this way, but as Jim mentioned, this was camp week. We had preteen camp up at Camp Ivydale in Idaho City. We had 82 campers this year, which is just right in our sweet spot. Yeah, it was good. Largely, it was an uneventful camp. In fact, I even said to Jay, you know, unless something happens, we're not going to really remember this camp, which is fine, you know, that drama-free. A couple hours later, we lost water for about 3 hours. The pump went out. We had a bad electrical connection. So we will now remember that camp as the year that the water went out. We have heard that there's been several staff members return home with camp crud. That means we've worked them just enough that they're worn out and their immune systems are shot. And so this week they'll be home recuperating before they go to teen camp next week. And also I really have to mention we had some epic camp news at our skit time this year. I don't know if we'll ever be able to top it. Every night, Jay and I, we do a news broadcast about the day's events, and we're pretty clever, I have to say. We're pretty funny guys, and I told him as long as we keep laughing at ourselves, we're doing pretty good. But we had we developed a camp rebellion this week, and the staff wanted to take over camp so they could have more canteen, more swimming, and more quiet time. And so each night, the battle progressed, and we were hiding out. And you may have seen a picture on Facebook. We were disguised as counselors and in some really awesome pants. And then the last night, that the final conflict, the final battle, the campers got involved. And Hannah Tisch, our very own Hannah Tisch, was the ringleader, imagine that. And she sent us a letter, and it said, the campers have had enough of this. We want to have a meeting between you, and we're going to work it out. And so we said, okay. So the two sides met in the front of the lodge, and we said, so what's your solution? And they said, we're going to take over camp. And really we had this debate, like, how far do we take this? Because some of the kids think it's real. That's the balancing act, because when you've got third graders, they're taking things very literally. So this year our theme was Acts of the Holy Spirit. We've been singing some songs about the Holy Spirit this morning, and we looked specifically at how the Holy Spirit worked through the early church. Our lessons included just looking at the early church in Jerusalem, the arrest of Peter and John after healing the lame man, the persecution of the church and Simon the magician, the debate about the Gentiles and if they needed to follow the law, and then Paul's vision of the Macedonian man. So we, in some ways, we didn't look at typical Holy Spirit stories, but we looked rather at how the Holy Spirit actually worked and some examples of that. So our first class of the week, we learned what the Holy Spirit was and wasn't. And at the end of the lesson, we had five things. We had them write down in their booklets. So we give them all a booklet. This year it was kind of hot pink. And inside we've got each day, we've got morning class, afternoon class, we've got the cabin devos, the memory verse, we've got songs in the back. So everybody gets one of these. So at the end of the class session, we have them fill out part of the answer. So this year, on Tuesday night, we wrote down that we had learned the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes from God, the Holy Spirit is a helper to us, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we also learn that he gives us power and teaches us. And we talked about that the power we get is not the ability to fly, unfortunately. It's the power to be witnesses. And so we talked about, okay, now we've got a foundation about what the Holy Spirit is. Let's see how the Holy Spirit works. And so That was our first class. And so this morning, we are going to do our last class, our Friday evening class. And just to set expectations with everybody, audience participation is expected. And so we are going to have some people reading. And also, we're going to be asking some questions. We've got a couple microphones that are going to be handed out. So don't be bashful. Otherwise, I'm just going to stand up here and stare because I'm not afraid of silence. First of all, I've got copies of our Friday night booklet page for everybody. So I've got some assistance. And, you know, the staff really love camp, and they can't hardly have enough camp. And in fact, Emma, she likes camp so much that she didn't go home. She's staying with the Hawkins in between preteen and teen camp. So everybody say hello to Emma Jones. If you know Howard and Evelyn Jones, that's their younger daughter. So she's pretty good anyway. All right. So in our class on Friday morning, we learned some stuff about Paul's missionary journeys, and specifically the one with Silas. So, Jim, if you guys want to start with the microphones, now would be a good time. So what was unusual about Paul's missionary trip with Silas? What happened on that missionary trip with Silas that was unusual?
You can raise your hand if you have the answer.
One of the campers may know, remember the answer, but what happened on the missionary trip with Silas that
you remember?
The Holy Spirit had a part in?
Warren, you remember? What? Say it louder.
The Holy Spirit was involved in that missionary trip in a very obvious way. What did the Holy Spirit do on the missionary trip with Silas? All right. Gage. Right. He stopped them from going to Asia and instead said, go to Macedonia. Thank you. So why would the Holy Spirit have done that? Why would the Holy Spirit have stopped them from going? They don't want to? Okay. I think they wanted to, though, but why would the Holy Spirit have told them not to go? Gage will answer every question, guys. I'm telling you right now. So he won. In fact, what did you win, Gage? Eye on the prize?
Yeah.
Gage won eye on the prize, everybody. I mean, that's... So that's our person that really... really is in the Bible that week. India also won for spiritual growth. I said that was kind of cheating because she got baptized. And so, did we have any other Caldwell winners? Hannah Tisch won for Paul Timothy. So that's an older camper that kind of watches out for the younger campers. So we can be very proud of our campers from Caldwell. So, Gage, now that we've said all that.
There might have been a punishment.
A punishment? Okay, they may have been punished if they'd gone. Why else might the Holy Spirit have stopped them from going? Left-hand side over here, you guys are awfully quiet. These answers are easy, guys. They really are. We're talking third to sixth grade level. So
Zoe thinks she knows. Let's find out. Channel 4.
Because he wanted to go somewhere else. I can't remember where, but the Holy Spirit wanted them somewhere else.
Okay, so... So on the flip side, why would he have stopped them from going to Asia? All right, so maybe they were going to be in danger, right? Maybe they did need to go preach in Macedonia. There, we don't really know. That's the real answer. We don't really know, but we can kind of guess. All right, so on this missionary journey, what was it the Holy Spirit was helping them do? Holy Spirit was helping them do something, and it starts with a P. Say it. Hey, all right, everybody. Way to go. He did. He just wasn't going to answer. Okay, so being our last class of the week, we're going to look at a story that comes at the end of Paul's journey. So let's look at Acts chapter 20. So everybody get out your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 20. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts. So if you've gone... All right, so page 1101 if you're using my Bible. 967 if you're using Fred's. All right, so we're going to read a good section here. So I need three readers, and adults are encouraged to participate. So Gage wants to be one of them. Randy's going to read, and Logan down here. So Gage, you get 17 through 19. Randy, 20 and 21, and Logan, 22 through 23. All right, and please stand up while you're reading. Add to the difficulty level here.
From
Miletus.
Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the pilots of my Jewish opponents."
Okay, Randy, 20 and 21.
"You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jew and Greek that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus."
Okay, and Jim Logan is going to read the 22 and 23.
"And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me."
Okay, so Paul has worked very closely with the church at Ephesus, and now he is about to leave the area, and he wants them to hear a few last things. So, from what we just read, who was it that Paul taught? Raise your hand if you know the answer. Who was it Paul taught? Jana in the back.
Gentiles.
Okay, Gentiles and somebody else. Starts with a J. Jews. Okay, he says he taught both Jews and Gentiles. And where was he going now? He's leaving on a boat, and he's going somewhere. Where was he going? All right, somebody besides Gage. He heard all this before. No, he wrote to the elders at Ephesus, but he was going to Jerusalem. All right. And how did he decide to go there? How did he know he needed to go to Jerusalem? Compelled by the Holy Spirit. All right, see guys, it's not that hard. So, was his trip going to be an easy one? No. He knew he was going to be imprisoned and face hardship. All right. So now we've got another section to read. So this time I need another three readers, three different readers. All right, Damien. Somebody on the left side. Come on. Come on, guys. Jana. Dennis. All right. So Damien, 24 through 26. Jana, 27 and 28. Dennis, 29 through 31.
"However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you."
Jana, 27 and 28.
For I did not shrink from the from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which is obtained with his own blood.
Okay, and Dennis 29 through 31.
I know, I know that after I had gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some, even from your own group, will come distorting the truth in order that to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn you with tears.
Okay, and now I'm going to read through 38. Now I commit to you to God. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with them, with all of them, and prayed. They all wept as he embraced them and kissed him. What grieved them most was a statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Okay, so what is it that Paul considers important in his life? His happiness or God's mission for his life? God's mission for his life. Thank you. And Paul has taught the people that he is talking to about Jesus. What does he say they are supposed to do now that he is leaving? So there's a kind of a checklist. What things did he say he wanted them to do once he was gone? It's all right here in the reading. You don't even have to make it up. Watch over the flock, okay? The flock being the congregation. What else? Shepherding the church, okay. Take care of the church and, okay, speak the truth is in there, but also look out for danger, okay. So, this week we spared no expense at camp, and we actually sent a reporting crew to the Holy Lands, and we've been having news reports all week long with witnesses, people that saw these events happen. So we're going to have one last visit, and so are you there now? Are you? I can't remember your name still. It's
Jay.
Jay, that's Jay, that's right. I remember we just had a management meeting about some of the receipts you turned in, and the all-you-can-eat hummus buffet, I think that's going to get turned down.
You know, you guys at the head news office are so chintzy, and I'm getting a little perturbed about that.
Well, we did put you up at the Super 8.
Thank you. One level higher would be nice.
All right, okay. So I believe you have an interview for us this morning.
Yes, I am reporting live from Ephesus, and I am here with Joseph, who is an elder at the church in Ephesus. Thank you for joining us today, Joseph.
No problem. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you recently returned from a meeting with Paul, and one question we have first is, you met with him in a town called Miletus. Why did Paul not come here to Ephesus?
Well, the last time Paul was here, there were some people that were not happy with him. And they sort of started a riot. So ever since then, it has not been safe for him here. So we went to see him.
Okay. And so I imagine that Paul had some important things to say to you. What did he have to say?
The last time Paul was here, indeed it was a special occasion. I get a little choked up talking about it a little bit. But Paul was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he wanted to say goodbye just because he knew we would never see us again.
So he's never going to see you again, so it sounds like something difficult is going to happen to him in Jerusalem. And I just wonder then why he would go. I mean, why would Paul go to Jerusalem in the first place?
Well, the Holy Spirit told him to go to Jerusalem, and it was also told him that he would be going to prison and that other hardships are along his path in life.
Okay, so that just pushes the question a little farther. I mean, if hardships await him and he's going to prison, why would he go to Jerusalem?
Well, because as Paul told us, it was not his own life or happiness that he cared about, but rather doing the work that Jesus had given him that mattered above all.
Okay, that's a very impressive attitude to have on Paul's part. So since he knew all of this, I imagine that he wanted to tell you some things. Would you please share with us some of the things that he told you?
Well, Paul did indeed have very important things to tell us. He started by reminding us that for 3 years he had taught us everything that he knew about God, and that now it would be up to us to remember those things and to watch out for the members of our congregation, because that was the job we had been given by God and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Was there anything else that he wanted to share with you?
Actually, there was. He also did warn us that bad people would come and try to teach things that were not true, and that even some of our own members would teach things that were wrong. It was our job to remember the truth and to tell it to others.
Now, one thing I just want to ask you about was about how Paul, how did he live? I know you are not a congregation that has lots of money, and so how did you pay Paul's salary?
Actually, we did not pay Paul anything. The whole 3 years that Paul was with us, he supported himself by working. He did this so that no one could accuse him for preaching something that would get him more money. He taught the truth only.
So after all of this, and after Paul shares all these things with you, what happened at that point?
Well, we prayed and cried and said goodbye, and then walked him down to the ship he would be taking to Jerusalem. We were very sad because we knew we would never see him again.
So, Joseph, thank you for talking with us today. I appreciate it. Obviously, I know that this is a sad time for you.
It is a pleasure. Thank you.
Chad, that's the story here in Ephesus. Back to you in the studio.
Well, that was a very sad story that Joseph told us. Can we ask just a few follow-up questions?
Definitely. It is certainly a sad story. There is grief here in the Ephesian church, but yes. Go ahead, ask what you want.
So we heard that Paul was going to Jerusalem, even though he knew bad things waited for him. I guess I'm imagining the audience as well as myself, we're just all wondering, why would Paul go? He knew bad things. I don't like to do bad things. Why would Paul go and do something that he knew was going to be a bad time?
Well, as we have heard, Paul was totally committed to the mission that God had given him. And so if he knew that going to prison was actually going to help more people to hear about Jesus, then that's what he wanted to do.
That kind of attitude certainly can be admired. I don't think I could say the same.
There are very few people that have that attitude.
So one other part that was weird was Paul warned the elders about members of their own congregation. It seems to me like the people they should be worried about are the outsiders, those that are coming in to influence them, and not the people that were already Christians in their own congregations. What was that about?
Yeah, this is a difficult thing to understand. There are times where there are people who are followers of Jesus who say things and teach things that simply are not true. And they do it believing what they say, and so they do it with the best intentions, but they are teaching things that are wrong.
So that was why Paul told the elders to remember what he had taught them.
Right. And so when they hear someone else's teaching, then they can compare it to the gospel that Paul had taught them. And if it did not match up with what Paul had taught them, you know, they were to remember the gospel that Paul had handed on to them.
So it sounds like he really gave them a big responsibility as he was leaving.
Right, and that is why elders are chosen ultimately by the Holy Spirit. It is a big responsibility and someone special called into that task.
Well, I want to thank you for all the hard work you've done this week. I hope to remember your name someday. I know you, now you're going to come back on Air Israel on their budget flight, is that correct?
Well, actually, before I do that, I plan to spend some time here at Amusement Park because I find this reporting job very stressful. And since it's what I consider a work event, you know, all the roller coasters I ride and snacks I have, I'm going to submit that reimbursement, and I expect to get reimbursed for that.
Well, I guess we'll have to look at that when you get back. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
All right, let's... Okay, so everybody get out your workbooks. Is that on? I don't know how this works exactly. Do I have to turn this thing on? Haha. All right, so first of all, this was our logo for the week. Jackson's wearing the shirt, I'm wearing the shirt. I'd like to say it was a collaboration between Joel and I. I kind of asked him or gave him what I had in my mind. So the A is the A-frame cabins. So Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we actually only used one A-frame this year. It's kind of the end of an era almost. We've gotten those new cabins, and they can just hold so many more campers that we only filled 8 out of our 12 cabins this year, which is totally fine. The new cabins are a lot cooler and better laid out. But we always want to remember our A-frames, and those were an iconic part of camp for a long time. Nice thing about using only 8 cabins is then there were plenty of cabins for the staff. So Brenda and Kim stayed in one, and Kevin Hooper stayed in one, Joel stayed in one, so we're able to let the cooks stay in some of the empty cabins. So anyway, that was our logo for the week. So our first question in our booklet, why is Paul going to Jerusalem? What's the brown fuzzy squirrel answer here? Why was Paul going to Jerusalem? The Holy Spirit was leading him there. So if you want to write down, your answer is led by the Holy Spirit. Guess what I've even got? Jay is really a PowerPoint wizard. And led by the Holy Spirit. So if you need to know how to spell any of the words, they're right up there. All right. Next question, what was important to Paul? So we said that Paul did not care about his own life, but what was he worried about? What was his mission? Gage, tell others about Jesus. So we're going to say the work of God and his ministry. So to Paul, the important thing was the work of God and his ministry. And then our last question, how can we know if someone is teaching the truth about Jesus? Now, isn't this a question that's been asked for about 2,000 years? How can we know if someone is teaching the truth about Jesus? What might we do? Okay. We compare it to what the Bible tells us. Okay? How can we know if someone is teaching the truth about Jesus? We compare it to what the Bible tells us. All right. So, this year, every year, we wrap up camp with the Kingdom Walk. Jay is trying to get the name Heavenly Hike to catch on. Not sure. It's been the Kingdom Walk for so long. I'm not sure if Heavenly Hike's going to make it or not. But And every year, it's kind of the culmination of the week, and some years it's practical application of what we've learned. Other years, it's in this year, we actually told the story of Paul's journey. So we had four different skits that the counselors put together. We gave them the topic, and then they developed what the skit actually looked like, and we had four different stops that we took the kids on. So we had Paul on trial. We had, what was the second one? No, the first one was when he gets arrested and flogged. The second one was Paul on trial before Felix and Festus, which was played by the same guy, which was interesting. Moss beard versus no moss beard. And then we had the shipwreck, which we talked about was kind of a similar story to Jonah, actually, with the throwing overboard. And then the last one was the final trial of Paul when he says he's going to stay in Rome for the next 2 years teaching anybody who's interested. So we go all the way through the end of Acts. So that was camp this year. We'll do a prayer now, and then we'll have our a song, and then we'll do the Lord's Supper. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for camp. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us to teach the kids about you. And we're so thankful for everyone who attended. We thank you for the support that we get. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, that great things are done through the Holy Spirit. And we pray that we would appreciate the things that the Holy Spirit does for us, that we would ask the Holy Spirit to do more for us, and that you would give us an appreciation and an understanding of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for everyone who participated this week, and thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.